the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Although it still may be a bit off from becoming a part of everyday life, 2016 seems to be the year that VR is becoming mainstream. Tim Fleming of Future Visuals explains why 2016 is being heralded as the beginning of new VR.
Lots and lots of appetite and interest around VR in 2016. It felt like 2015 was the year where we did lots of education. You know, we went around to companies showing them VR and they all went, yeah, that's amazing. That's definitely going to happen in the future. Thanks very much. See you later. So it was quite hard last year. But all those sort of education type leads are sort of converting this year, where people actually want to do things, and you know, they can see the momentum, they can see the potential. So very exciting times. You know, it just feels like we're at the beginning of this incredible new format, and we've sort of seen what's happened with these technology cycles. You know, we saw what happened with smartphones, we saw what happened with Flash, we saw what happened with Web 2.0. You know, having sort of lived and worked through these cycles, you kind of get a feeling for when another cycle is about to take off.
We are very much in the early adopter stage of a technology cycle. Some would argue we were on the stage before that, but the sort of key goal really is, for a lot of enthusiasts anyway, is the simple fact that there's actually commercial headsets available that you can buy and take home once they get delivered to you. I mean, it's been a dream of mine since the 90s, since seeing, you know, lots of trashy sci-fi films and hackers and stuff like that, is actually having my own VR high quality headset at home to play games and see films in and everything else.
That's Sam Watts of Make Real Brighton. But what does the future look like for virtual reality, and how is it likely to become part of our everyday life?
So there's going to be a couple of different routes to adoption. You know, are we going to see it sort of like the games console way, where, you know, kids get VR sets in and then mum and dad have a go, and let's say John Lewis have got a VR store available, and they go, oh, I might just give that a go, because you know what, I do a bunch of my shopping for John Lewis already off a tablet or off my phone. Let's try this VR or V-commerce version they've got going on. And if they go, oh, actually, this is like a bridge between what I'm already doing on my tablet and my smartphone, but it's a bridge between that and the real world store, and I've got the ability to buy in here, then I think, you know, that's when we'll see people using it. And it'll just be that kind of almost, you know what technology is like? This amazing technology comes along and we all adopt it, and then we can't really remember what life was like without it.
Initially, there's obviously a strong emphasis at the moment on the gaming side of things, just because it's an obvious market and an obvious way to sell the benefits of. But I think looking sort of 5 years down the line, then prices would have come down significantly. We'll be on a couple of different iterations of hardware. It'll be more accepting. It'll become more and more of a useful tool for learning, because, as I say, you have social shared spaces where multiple people are all interacting with the same virtual model in the virtual environment within the same room without having costly field trips or the complete inability to actually go somewhere because they're not trained.
A lot of big companies are backing VR, including internet giants Google and Facebook. Does that mean a large part of future VR will be more social?
Facebook obviously doing a big old, big commitment to VR 360. I mean, some of the deals this week are quite interesting. So there's a company called Next VR, and they've just tied up deals with Live Nation, the concert people, to stream all their stuff in 360. They've done a bunch of deals with the NBA, the Basketball League. So you're seeing kind of content deals getting done at the moment. And, I think it's still fairly primitive, you know, because you need a fairly advanced setup to A, stream that stuff, and, you know, you need good connection to receive it at decent quality. So a lot of the stuff we're seeing at the moment is still kind of proof of concept.
I got to try the Oculus Touch demo last year where there was two of us in the same room, and now with headphones and microphones built into the headsets and hand-tracked controls, you can see other people in the same room and you can interact with each other and play ping pong or shoot ray guns at each other.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's why Facebook have bought it, haven't they? They've, you know, they've bought VR to have, so, you know, social. Social's their thing. That's why they're going to be, that's how they're going to be building it, so groups can interact across the world. So who knows what the possibilities are when you and I could be on other sides of the world, but we can interact as if we're in the same space. Sounds pretty incredible. We're stunned at the pace with which it's all moving. You know, we're getting this incredible convergence of tech, VFX skills, storytelling skills, and just demand for stories and better experiences.
Whether 2016 is the year of VR or not, it is certainly the year that we've come to realize that virtual reality is here and here to stay.
Virtual reality will just become another normal means of keeping in touch with people and taking your virtual place at the disparate family table.
So if you go back, you know, if you went back 15 years and said, we'll all have these amazing phones in our pocket that will have some of the world's knowledge in them, we're going, now that sounds crazy, we're never going to have that. And then we have them and we're like, oh yeah, I've got, you know, I've got some of the world's knowledge in my pocket. How could I possibly live without it?